teachers, and administrators from several school districts in Northwest Arkansas took a trip halfway around the world to get some new ideas they could bring back to the natural state. The group from Fayetteville, Springdale, Rogers, Bentonville, Siloam Springs, the Thaden School, and Haas Hall went to New Zealand, one of the top performing countries in the world when it comes to education. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek recently spoke with Tamara Gibson, the executive director of elementary education at the Bentonville School District, about what the group learned during their visit.
You guys went to New Zealand. How long was the trip? It was about a little over a week, right?
Correct. Yes. You know, we left on a Friday and we arrived on a Sunday because you lose a day going and you gain a day coming back. And we spent Tuesday through Friday in the schools. We spent Monday afternoon getting acclimated with our group that hosted us because Monday was their national holiday of Labor Day.
Tell us about why you guys decided to take this trip all the way, you know, halfway around the world.
Well, it's actually part of a larger project. So the Walton Family Foundation partnered with the Office of Innovation and Education at the University of Arkansas to bring together educators from across Northwest Arkansas to look at innovative practices in education. We wanted to focus on what are we doing here in Northwest Arkansas, because we are doing some great things among all of these districts and schools, but we also wanted to have more of a national and international conversation as well. So with the generous support from the Walton Family Foundation, we're on a two-year journey, and we'll be networking with about 35 of us on this journey together. We'll be networking a lot and continuing our work. New Zealand was a part of that process, so we could put eyes on an international system that is one that is well-known and renowned, you know, in educational circles around the world.
What did you find out when you were there? How did your week, what did your week look like when you visited their schools, you know, during that Tuesday through Friday? What did you guys do and
Sure.
What did you find out?
Well, one of the things that the Walton Family Foundation did, and working with the Office of Innovation, they partnered with a group in New Zealand called Core Education. And they are a group that really offers a lot of professional development, not only in the country of New Zealand, which is their home base, but they do it worldwide. So before we ever went on the trip, we started Skyping and networking with a couple of representatives from Core Education to really get a sense of the country and the way the schools worked in New Zealand, because it is somewhat different. And those are the folks that really hosted us and helped us be able to hit the ground running. So that Monday afternoon of that national holiday, we were together for a few hours, really getting ready for our week, although we had gotten lots of information ahead of time. So Tuesday through Friday morning, we were up early. We were on buses to visit schools. We were in the city of Auckland the entire time. Auckland is about 1.5 million people. It never really felt that big, and we stayed in the downtown area, which was really interesting. The ride to the schools might be 20 to 40 minutes, depending on how far we went out. But when we arrived, we would always spend some time with building administrators and teachers talking about what we were going to be observing while we were there. And then in many of the schools, we had special greetings from the students that were so excited that we were there. And then we spent an enormous amount of time talking with kids and teachers in the learning environments while the learning was happening. So obviously we were a large group of 35. We were one of the largest groups they'd ever hosted, and they host folks all the time from all over the world. So we broke into smaller groups, not to overwhelm, you know, any one classroom, but we just had free rein of the school and the ability to really interact with the stakeholders. And so we did that on Tuesday through Friday. And Friday afternoon, we spent about 3 hours wrapping up and debriefing as a group and thinking about what our next steps are when we get back to the States.
So what are the differences between the way we do public education here in the States and the way they do public education in New Zealand?
There are a lot of similarities in terms of content, what we expect students to know and be able to do when you're talking about science and math and the literacies of reading and writing. But I think the thing that jumped out to a lot of us on the trip was their focus on making sure student voice was interjected into how students learn and having a voice in how they like to learn, how they learn best. Also, they want students to own their learning, and they teach them how to own their learning. They infuse things they call dispositions throughout the entire curriculum, and teachers coach students on how to have resiliency, how to have perseverance, and how to look through the lenses, those lenses of dispositions, when they're doing their learning to say, where are you using your dispositions and did you learn it here? They also celebrate the struggles of learning. And a couple of schools we went to, they had the learning pit. And being in the learning pit is not a bad thing. It's when you're stuck. And it's you have to figure out, when you own your learning, how do you get out of the pit? And it might be another classmate or a few classmates get into the pit with you and you figure it out. It might be that you ask the teacher, I need a workshop. And that's where a teacher pulls one to five or six kids who need a particular lesson on something to help further their knowledge so they can get out of the pit on whatever they're working on. I would say the learning is pretty individualized. Not that all 25 students in a classroom may have their own individual plan, but students who are working in similar areas or on certain projects are going to be clustered together. And so a lot of small group work and constant feedback. It's not uncommon in New Zealand to see a very large modern learning environment where you can close off doors and open them up. They're usually glass doors. And you may have three classes in one really large area together with three teachers and a lot of flexible grouping, and the teachers share the classes. And some of them may even be two, what we would call grade levels of classes. So it's just very interesting. A lot of planning on the part of the teachers and a lot of training to be able to deliver a model in this way.
So their schools are designed in a very different way than our schools are designed.
Right, and not all schools are. They still definitely have some traditional schools, but about 10 or 15 years ago, they went through a curriculum rewrite in about 2006 for the nation, and they have national curriculum, national standards. But when they did that, they had a lot of teacher voice in what this was going to look like. But one of the things the Ministry of Education said is we want, you know, we've been talking about 21st century learners for a while, and now we're in the 21st century, so we would hope that we've arrived with some of that. And so when they're looking at funding remodels or new schools, they are only going to fund those for schools who commit and have a very developed plan to how they're going to get at learning in this way, the modern learning spaces, trying to personalize the learning, having a plan to help students own their learning. So that's just a part of their delivery. I will say also an interesting concept, you know, in the state of Arkansas, we have school districts, and school districts have boards of education. In New Zealand, every school has a board of trustees, which is similar to a board of education, and on that board of trustees is a principal, a teacher, and usually about five parents. And they own all of the governance for that school in terms of facilities, food service, instruction. And if they feel like they need monies from the Ministry of Education for builds or remodels, part of what they have to show them is that they're ready to embrace what research tells us is best practice about learning in the 21st century, and they have a plan for over, you know, 3 to 5 years of how they'll get there.
I sort of understand the disposition model that you mentioned, but can you go a little bit more in depth as to what exactly that means?
Right. Dispositions are really kind of how students are going to approach their learning. You might, in different schools, will identify dispositions, but you'll see a lot of things in common. It might be things like, I'm going to have resiliency. I'm going to have perseverance. I'm going to have courage. I'm going to bring curiosity to my learning. It's okay. Those types of things. And I saw lots of different dispositions when I was in these schools. But the teachers and students have conversations about how to build those dispositions and infuse them into the learning. We talk a lot in this country about wanting our kids to have grit, to have that growth mindset, and that things aren't always going to come easy. And so grit for us would be a disposition. How do you have grit? How do you show grit? How do you build that into your approach to your learning?
How do you go about implementing some of these ideas that you've discovered during this trip and others?
Right. That's a great question. I think one of the things, we have a ton of resources that have been shared with us from Core Education, as well as the principals and teachers of the schools we visited. And we have those in shared drives that we all have access to for those that went. And so I think as principals are looking at where they think they might want to go next, if it's with dispositions or some of the personalized pieces, whatever they're looking at, I think they start with all of the foundational information and resources that have been shared with them, and they start to share that with their staff. Because as leaders, we don't ever want to go in and say, hey, guess what we're getting ready to do? We want to build capacity. We want to build a desire from the staff to see the need to do that as well. And when they, I think, you know, when you look at the research and the best practice, teachers want to do what's best for kids. That's just in their DNA. So I think building, it's hard when you didn't get to go see it in action. So we need to build that capacity within the teachers and then let them be a part of the planning. And there would be a point the students need to be a part of the planning as well. When schools identify what their dispositions are, that very much needs to have student voice. So I think the plan is to think about where are we heading and then how do we lay that foundational knowledge for all stakeholders and go from there.
There's so much conversation about public education mm-hmm. and whether it's effective, whether it's not effective, what needs to change, what needs to stay the same, and obviously a lot of discussion about school choice and whether that's a good thing or a bad thing for mm-hmm. public schools. How does this play into that conversation, these kind of trips and this effort over the next couple of years?
I think we're blessed in Northwest Arkansas. We don't have some of the challenges that some of our colleagues in large inner cities face. I think for parents, they want to know, number one, that we care about their kids and that we work really hard to build relationships with families and their students. But I think they also want us to be progressive and to make sure that we embrace best practices. And that's something that I feel like the schools in Northwest Arkansas have done. We just now have had an opportunity to network with folks, and it's helped kind of expand our vision of what is possible. So for me personally, and it's not that I think choice is a bad thing, I just have happened to spend my career in public education, and I want to see it remain strong. Even though parents do have choices, of there are charters and there are private, and we embrace choices, I want to make sure in Northwest Arkansas we always have a very strong public education system, but working together with private and charter, it makes us even stronger. But we would be remiss as educators if we didn't seek out opportunities to enhance our practice. And I think this is what that's about. And I think that's what parents want us to do.
What was your favorite memory of the trip? What sort of stands out that you'll remember for a long time?
We visited one school called Kari Lands, and they had a large Maori population. And Maori is the indigenous population of New Zealand, and they embraced the culture there. There was a time they weren't embracing the culture several years ago, where students weren't allowed to speak that language at school, and the customs were going away. And in 1987, the country of New Zealand said, "No, this is not right, and we want to embrace this," and they have. And so we got lots of greetings in Maori at this one particular school. When we arrived, the students were all assembled for us to come in to do a song that they sang in Maori and to do the haka. And if you've ever watched rugby, you're familiar with what the haka is. And it's quite intense, and it was amazing to watch. But before we walked into the room to see it, they also said the students, the song will be sharing part of their culture and our background and our pride. We want you to share something with us from the States as well. We had about 2 minutes to figure out what we would do. So after they finished their song in the haka, the 35 of us sang two verses and two choruses of "This Land Is Your Land," and then we called the hogs. And the look on the students' faces was priceless when we did that. So that's a memory that stands out, just a sharing of cultures, a sharing of love. But I would also say the respect that the students showed each other, older students to younger students, and just the community feel in all of the schools was something that I think I'll always remember. It was quite special.
Thank you so much for stopping by and chatting with us.
Absolutely.
I was Tamara Gibson, the Executive Director of Elementary Education at the Bentonville School District, talking with Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek. She has worked for the Bentonville School District for 30 years.